Let me just start by saying that I am not going to opine on what kind of descending order we are going in, other than to say that we are going in descending order as to stature. And I will always be the shortest presenter at any conference. I think I was given the short end of the genetic stick. And I will also bring to your attention that Steve Young will be following me, and he is not short of stature. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today on the question of what happens next. The tax reform bill has passed. The holidays are over. The dust has settled. And where are we now? We are left with the State Tax Commission administering a 230-plus page piece of legislation, and I will tell you that we are very glad to be doing so. At the outset, let me begin by saying that the Utah Constitution vests in the four-member State Tax Commission the duty to administer and supervise the state's tax laws. We take this responsibility seriously. Our role is not to make the laws, but to administer them, and this role is critical in the proper functioning of state government. We're assisted in our efforts by an incomparable staff consisting of our executive director, Scott Smith, and many dedicated employees. I also want to take the opportunity to thank the governor's office and the legislature for their outstanding work on this piece of legislation. We feel like we were given an ample opportunity to work hand in hand in resolving administrative issues with the legislation as those issues arose, so that the bill that passed is a bill that we can administer. And we also take seriously our responsibility to properly administer and enforce this legislation now that it's passed. So with that background in mind, there are two main areas of implementation that the Tax Commission will be undertaking now that the legislation has passed. The first is changes to the sales and use tax, and the second will be implementing changes to the income tax. I know that the governor and the speaker and president have already hit on some of these individual items, so I won't take a lot of time to go through those. But primarily in the sales tax arena, we're going to be implementing the increase in the sales tax rate on grocery food, expanding the base to include certain additional taxable services, creating a new exemption, repealing some exemptions, clarifying the tax treatment of certain transactions, increasing the motor vehicle rental tax rate, and making changes to fuel tax. On the income tax front, the changes that we'll be administering primarily consist of decreasing the individual and corporate tax rates from 4.95% to 4.66%, increasing the taxpayer tax credit, as was discussed earlier, providing for rebates under the taxpayer tax credit and the grocery tax credit, providing a Social Security tax credit, providing the grocery tax credit, and providing an earned income tax credit. So the implementation of these provisions can best be illustrated using a timeline. And our first order of business to implement the new law will be to update employer withholding tables. And this will occur between now and February. I will tell you that this is already underway. Next, by February 1st, we'll notify retailers of the sales and use tax changes. And these changes are going to take effect on April 1st. The important takeaway on this, on the sales tax changes, is that tax compliance companies and retailers are going to need adequate time to program their systems, and the tax compliance companies need adequate time to notify their clients of these changes. So we need to get this underway early, and that is why our goal to complete this is in February. We absolutely feel like adequate notice is key to proper implementation of the bill. We have other responsibilities in February and March, and that is that we will begin sending the taxpayer tax credit rebates, or prebates as the president referred to them as, to the 2018 filers. We want to have this process completed by April 1st, according to the bill. This is also the effective date of the sales tax changes. Then, almost immediately after this deadline, beginning on April 15th, we're going to begin sending out the grocery tax rebates and the taxpayer tax credit rebates to the 2019 filers. We will complete this process by July 1st, according to statute. Then for the remainder of the 2020 calendar year, we're going to implement and develop income tax forms and instructions. We're going to complete our programming for the changes that will take effect for the 2020 tax year, and we will distribute these forms and instructions around the October to November timeframe in 2020. So be watching for those. If you have any questions or concerns, please get in touch with us, as we are a business-friendly state and we want to work with you on implementing the legislation and helping you to stay in compliance. So, as I mentioned earlier in my presentation, the State Tax Commission is constitutionally tasked with the duty to administer the tax laws of the state. However, at this point, I would be remiss to not alert you to the fact that there is some uncertainty that's playing into this process with the filing of a referendum petition to repeal Senate Bill 2001. Currently, the Tax Commission is preparing to implement Senate Bill 2001 as written, as provided in the timeline, and when it takes effect in February of 2020. However, the timing and enforcement of the bill could be disrupted if the referendum generates the 115,000 signatures that would be needed to send the referendum to the voters for their approval and rejection, or rejection. So how are we handling this? As I mentioned before, we're going to monitor the progress of the referendum, but in the meantime, we're going to move forward to administer the bill according to the timeline set in statute. So now that we've covered some of the general timelines for implementing the legislation, I'm going to just touch on some implementation of particular provisions in the bills. I'm going to start with some sales and use tax changes and walk you through the changes to grocery food. So, with respect to the rate on grocery food, the full state sales tax rate of 4.85% will be restored on food beginning on April 1st of 2020. and the local rates will remain as provided in statute. So currently, the local option 1% is imposed, the county quarter is imposed on food, and those will remain, which will give us an aggregate rate of 6.1%. Our job is going to be to communicate this rate change to tax compliance providers and retailers so that they can properly implement it when it takes effect on April 1st. The bill also enacts a tax on some new taxable services. These provisions will go into effect beginning on April 1st. They include security system monitoring, personal transportation, parking, towing, pet boarding and care, pet grooming, dating referrals, and identity theft protection. We are aware that the providers of these newly taxable services may never have collected sales taxes, nor may they have ever registered with the State Tax Commission. So we are currently working on outreach efforts to educate the service providers. We're working with the media, we're contacting industry groups, and we're updating our publications. However, we acknowledge that even with these efforts, we expect that compliance will begin slowly and will increase over time. I'll just note this item as it's kind of been a point of confusion throughout the process. Changes were made to the taxation of installation and delivery. Under the bill, installation and delivery charges are not subject to sales tax unless they're charged in conjunction with the sale of a taxable item. So, for example, shipping and handling associated with the sale of taxable goods to a consumer will be subject to tax. But shipping and handling associated with the sale of goods for resale is not taxable. Likewise, installation associated with the sale of a taxable good is taxable, but installation that's not related to the sale of a taxable good is not subject to tax. Now let's walk through the exemptions that are repealed effective April 1 of 2020. These include exemptions for ski resort electricity, admissions to college sporting events, tangible personal property converted to real property by a transit district, fuel sold to a railroad for use in a locomotive and charges for accessing a database. Similar to the changes in the base and rates, we intend to make sure that service providers and retailers are notified of these changes to aid them in complying. One new exemption was enacted as part of the bill. This was for amounts paid for certain tangible personal property. These are things like soap and lubricants that are consumed in repairing or renovating tangible personal property, in cleaning or washing tangible personal property, or for laundry and dry cleaning services. Again, this is another item of outreach for us. Finally, Senate Bill 2001 clarified the taxation of some transactions. Software as a service has always been taxable in Utah. However, it has not been defined in statute. The bill clarified the definition to include the use of seller-hosted software, regardless of how that software is accessed. The bill also clarifies that a charge for streamed media is taxable regardless of whether it is simply streamed or whether a download option is available. And before moving out of sales tax, I'm just going to mention the fuel tax increases. The table on the slide shows the increases, with the rates representing the aggregated rates imposed on each fuel type. The tax will be paid by the supplier or distributor using the current fuel tax returns, and no additional or supplemental filing requirements will be necessary for taxpayers. So our final area of implementation of the new bill involves implementing the income tax changes. And as President Adams indicated, the Utah personal exemption, which is part of the taxpayer tax credit, was increased from $565 to $2,500. And this amount is phased out at certain income levels. One personal exemption is allowed for a taxpayer with no dependents. But for taxpayers with dependents, it's based on the number of dependents only. Taxpayers who qualify for the credit are not required to make any additional efforts to claim the credit. The only thing they will be required to do is file a state income tax return. This is a non-refundable credit, which means that it can only be used to reduce or eliminate tax liability. If the amount of the credit exceeds the liability, that amount will not be refunded back to the taxpayer. A rebate of the taxpayer tax credit is also provided under Senate Bill 2001 for 2020. The Tax Commission will authorize these rebate payments between March and June of 2020, and the rebates will be automatically generated by Tax Commission computers, and this is based generally on 2018 return information, although in certain circumstances, 2019 information will be considered. The rebate is $1,285 per dependent. It is subject to a phase out, and it generally benefits low-income taxpayers with dependents. The bill also enacts a Social Security tax credit. This is equal to 4.66% of taxable Social Security benefits. It's also subject to a phase out, and this provides broader relief than the current retirement tax credits, and it covers the gap for retired taxpayers who are under 67 years old, but who receive Social Security benefits. The credit can be claimed starting with the 2020 tax year. Now we'll walk through the grocery tax credit and rebate. The grocery tax credit is equal to $125 for the first four household members, and then $50 for each additional household member after that. The phase out of this credit is based on the federal poverty level. It's claimed only by filing a state income tax return. However, this credit is refundable, and this means that if a taxpayer does not have tax liability, they can still claim the benefit of the credit in the form of a refund check. And like the taxpayer tax credit, we have a corresponding grocery tax rebate for tax year 2020. We're going to authorize payments of the credit, of the rebate, between April and June of 2020. Again, these rebates will be automatically generated by Tax Commission computers. It's going to be based on 2019 return information if a return is filed by April 15th of 2020. The rebate is equal to 25% of the grocery tax credit that a household would otherwise be eligible to receive if the credit were effective in 2019. And finally, we will be implementing a state earned income tax credit that's equal to 10% of the federal earned income tax credit for the previous year. However, this credit can only be claimed by people who are identified by the Department of Workforce Services as experiencing intergenerational poverty. This credit's also refundable so that taxpayers who have no tax liability can take advantage of the benefit of the credit. And these are really all of the new provisions that we're going to be implementing. If you have any questions or want to discuss these, please feel free to see me after. Thank you.